Our gospel reading this morning is from St. Matthew's Gospel, and we're reading from chapter 6, from verse 19 to chapter 7, verse 12. These are passages from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading.
Let us pray. We come to the gospel that you brought to us, Lord Jesus. We come to hear again about the love that God has for us, for all creation. And we come again to wonder where you are leading us, what you're asking of us. But we first learn what it is you are giving to us. All that we have, and all that we are from you. Amen. A long gospel reading, a long reading perhaps to have to listen to sitting in the pews, but one that is not unknown. Many little passages that you have perhaps heard on occasion, little snippets that in this instance have been all read together, following on from one chapter into the next, a continuum. Part, as Alistair said, of the Sermon on the Mount, a long sermon that Jesus gave, which I assure you this one will not be nearly as long, and his much more interesting. But what he was doing was giving people the chance, the opportunity to hear in different ways, with different metaphors, in different sorts of vocabulary, what it is that God has given to us and what we are asked to do with it. He has given to us the most amazing gift of life, of every breath that we take. He has given to us here in this place the most amazing gift of freedom, a liberty that many in our world do not have. We are here, perhaps by accident of birth, but however we are here, that birth, that breath, that life is from God. And what we do with it, that's our decision. That's for us to act upon. That's for us to plan. No one else can plan your life for you. They can when you're wee. They can plan quite a lot of your life when you're wee. Mind you, I think some wee ones plan their parents' life a bit more than the other way around. We get to the stage where we have to think of other folk, and we have to be aware that our actions affect other people as theirs affect us. But we need also to be very, very aware of the liberty that we have, of the freedom that we have, and of the power that we have. And it doesn't actually fit to simply say when we look at the news or wonder when we look at the Facebook Dalgetty billboard again hitting the headlines. It's not good enough for us to simply say, that's terrible. Let's sit back. Let's close the doors. Let's avoid it all. And it's not even possible for us to look at our news reports to the events in Spain and Barcelona, or the events in Sierra Leone, or the events in Nepal, or the events where there is starvation and hunger, or the events where people are fleeing their countries, or the events where all these awful things are happening around the world. It is not good enough for us to simply sit back and say, isn't that a shame? Because a shame doesn't cover it. And if all we feel is shame, then perhaps we should be ashamed. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ does not miss and hit the wall. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as we have heard it today, is very direct. And we understand the words very well. This is not some Old Testament convoluted verses. These are not something from Paul's writings where we don't understand when we get to the end of the sentence what he did at the beginning. This is a gospel, this is a word, this is a sermon, these are Jesus Christ's teachings that are actually very easy to understand. If we got them in a test and we were asked to do a little comprehension and ask what the questions were, what does this mean? What does he say? What does he ask? It would not be hard for us to get the answers. Not hard at all. So there comes a point in our faith where it's not good enough to sit back and say, that's fine. We just believe. Because the world is waiting for more than that from us who do believe. Whether it's Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, whatever religion it is that we are following, the world needs us to put into practice those religions. And not the extremist parts of it. But the center. The kind, the gentle, the peacemaking, the loving, the caring, the compassionate in all those faiths and religions. And the majority, the huge majority of people who hold to the central ground on all these, and the liberal ground, have been stunned into silence and are seemingly powerless through a few. And whether that's a few in a community who are making trouble, or a few in the world who are making trouble, there is still an awful lot more of us who are not, and who want to make things well, and who want to make things right, who will go out of our way to see things, to be part of things. And we know that when we've seen something for ourselves in our own flesh, when we've seen something personally, then it makes such an impact on us that we can no longer ignore it. Ask those who have been to Nkongolweni or to Kenya. Ask those who have been to Nepal or Pakistan. Ask those who have been to those places and have seen and talked to people who are suffering. Suffering from persecution and oppression, suffering from hunger and starvation, suffering from war. We'll have a chance at our harvest, hopefully, to perhaps meet some people who are working with the refugees in Scotland. And perhaps they can tell us, if we can't see for ourselves, just what it means. And rather than listen to stories and listen to people putting spin on things, perhaps we can see for ourselves what it means to live in countries where there is no freedom. And just discover again what it is we have. We have that power. And so much of our faith, we worry about it and worry what we're doing about it. We don't want to stand on anyone's toes, and of course we don't. And we don't want to cause conflict. Of course we don't. But there comes a point when we have to stand firm and true in our faith and tell the world what it is that Jesus says. Jesus says that he wants peace and unity and harmony. Jesus actually reached out to those who were not of his faith, of his culture, and spoke to them as normal human beings, as equals. We can't get away from that. We can't say it was just once in time. We can't say that was 2,000 years ago and it just doesn't work anymore. Because his teaching does work. It will work if we try it and if we put it into practice. A long passage, perhaps, from the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of teachings in there, a lot of different things. This is not about one topic. This is about a whole breadth of teaching that he gave to help us have understanding and insights into other people's positions. About not judging. About asking God for help. About realizing what it is we give to others. And if they ask us for something, then we give extra, perhaps. If they ask you for bread, you're really going to give them a stone? Of course we're not. And yet perhaps when they ask us for help, they get a stone heart facing them in return. But our lives, our bodies course with living blood, with breath, with air. We are living creatures and we have possibilities and potential and power. And we are afraid of those possibilities and afraid of that potential and afraid of that power. Why? God is not asking us to go to a war where we will have to confront people and one side will win and the other won't. He's asking us to go into conversations and tell people about the compassion that he has for all. Tell people that he cares for everyone. Tell people it doesn't matter where they have come from or the families they live in, but they are loved and cared for and held tight and firm in his love. Tell people it doesn't matter if they're moving from one place to another, one home to another. It doesn't matter where they are in this world, that his hand is on them in blessing and love. It doesn't matter if they are ill or well or rich or poor. It only matters that they are human beings, part of God's creation. The teachings that are in this passage, and it's not actually that long a passage. We can sit down and we can read a book happily and read a few chapters of a book quite happily. So why can't we read the same amount of scripture? Why can't we sit down and read our Bibles as a complete book? Mark's Gospel is not that long. You could read it happily in an afternoon. What an excuse, the minister said. Sit back and read something from the scriptures, a longer passage, and understand what he is saying to us. In that short passage, riches in heaven. The heart is where your riches are. Where is your heart? What are you more focused on in this world? Is it on the material things? Is it on money? Is it on wealth? Is it on... what is it on? Is it on Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Do we realize that when we focus on him as the core of our heart and our life, that other things will slot into place? We may not be the richest people in the community. We may not be the healthiest people in the community. It's not about health and wealth. It's not about physical strength. It is about love and care and compassion. God and possessions. You cannot be the slave of two masters. We have to make our minds up. What is it we're going to look to? Who are we going to serve? Jesus, God, or the world? Are we going to be taken in by all the things that they're continually telling us? Because we are. We all are. Because it's constant. It's constant. And we hear again about minorities who seem to rule everything. Minorities say we shouldn't and therefore we don't. Minorities say they're upset by that and so we step back. Let's not confront, but let's not also either be powerless in our faith and silent in our faith, because that helps no one. Don't judge. Don't cast pearls before swine. Don't give to dogs what is meant for others, what is holy. Now, as many of you will know from last Sunday afternoon, we had a pet service. We blessed the dogs. It's not saying that dogs are not important. Let's not take this literally. Let's not get ourselves caught up saying, oh, well, in that case, we must be better than dogs, and dogs are no good and that. This is not about the animal kingdom. This is about how we treat other people. And sometimes people are not ready. Don't cast pearls before swine. Sometimes people are not ready. So go and find someone who is. There's no need to confront day after day after day and set up a battlefront. But there is an opportunity perhaps then to take your energies to somewhere else, to someone else who is ready to listen, whom God has prepared, who will hear what you're saying, and perhaps all will fall into place and their faith will be ignited and rejuvenated, or perhaps simply begun. God gives us what we need. But what are we doing with what we have got? There's a question going around just now. If you had lived in the era of slavery, what would you have done? It's a big question. If we'd lived in that time when slavery was being confronted, was it a good thing and a bad thing? And people using the gospel and the scriptures for both sides, what would we have done? So the question, what would you have done if you lived in that time of slavery? The answer is, quite simply, what you are doing now. Because those issues are still around us, not in the same form, but they are still there for us. Are we sitting back saying someone else will sort it out? Are we taking sides and looking for scripture verses that will support us? Or are we looking to the actual gospel of Jesus Christ as is lived out and as is intended and saying, this is where we are and this is what we want to do and we want to bring justice and peace and compassion to all? The thing is, we've got to step up and say yes to God. We've got to step up and say that we care. We've got to step up and say that, yes, God gave us everything that is for us to use for everyone, not to take to ourselves. And whether it's an apple tree, or whether it's a fruit bush, or whether it's gifts that we have to help one another, or whether it's the time that we now have to go and talk to someone, whatever we have is to be shared, not just within our own little context, but in a wider context, so that more and more people will hear what the gospel actually means. This week's news with Sierra Leone, Nepal, Barcelona, all those horrific, horrific tragedies, natural and man-made, should stop us in our tracks, not then to stop and say we can do nothing, but to stop then and say, what can we do? There are so many wonderful charity groups that so many people here are involved in who are doing just that, who are not sitting back saying we can do nothing, but are doing the smallest things in their eyes, which will be the greatest thing in the eyes of the person who is receiving. There are people who are actually putting themselves out there and making sure that they can share the gifts that God has given to them. He's not calling us to be martyrs. He's not calling us to sacrifice so that we have nothing left and poor us and we have no time for ourselves. He's not calling us to that. But he is calling us to a proper sharing of what we are and who we are and what we have. Remember me back in ecclesiastical history, my first year, and the comment that came was that the early Christians quickly realized that martyrdom was not a life issue. Not calling us to be martyrs, but he is calling us to do what we can and to say yes and to share. This beating heart, Lord, is yours. This beating heart which is called to serve you is yours. How often can we say that and mean that and do that? This beating heart is yours. Our life is yours to be given, dedicated back to our God. You only had one reading. You thought you were being shortchanged, let me assure you. This is a reading from Michel Coist. I used something of his last week, and somebody spoke to me at the door, and it reminded me that in my very, very, very early days on my Christian path, I wasn't sure what to do. I was very shy, didn't have anything to give, and wondered what God was asking of me. And I read this from Michel Coist's Prayers for Life. I'm afraid of saying, "Yes, Lord, where will it take me?" I'm afraid of drawing the longer straw. I'm afraid of signing my name to an unread agreement. I'm afraid of the yes that entails other yeses. And yet I'm not at peace. You pursue me, Lord, you besiege me. I run after noise for fear of hearing you, but in a moment of silence, you slip through. I turn from the road, for I've caught sight of you, but at the end of the path, you are there waiting for me. Where can I hide and meet you everywhere? Is it then impossible to escape you? But I'm afraid to say yes, Lord. I'm afraid of putting my hand in yours, for you hold on to it. I'm afraid of meeting your eyes, for you can win me. I'm afraid of your demands. I'm hemmed in and I hide. I am captured, yet I struggle. You are stronger, Lord. You own the world and you take it from me. It's no fun, Lord. I can't keep anything for myself. The flower I pick fades in my hands. My laugh freezes on my lips. The waltz I dance leaves me restless and uneasy. Everything seems empty. Everything seems hollow. You have made a desert around me. I am hungry and thirsty, and the whole world cannot satisfy me. And yet I loved you, Lord. What have I done to you? I worked for you. I gave myself for you. Oh, great and terrible God, what more do you want? My child, I want more for you and for the world. Until now you have planned your actions, but I have no need of them. You've asked for my approval. You've asked for my support. You've wanted to interest me in your work. But don't you see you were reversing the roles? I have watched you. I have seen your goodwill. And I want more than you now. You'll no longer do your own works, but the will of your Father in heaven. Say yes, child. I need your yes, as I needed Mary's yes to come to earth. For it is I who must do your work. It is I who must live in your family. It is I who must be in your neighborhood, not you. For it is my look that penetrates, not yours. My words that carry weight, not yours. My life that transforms, not yours. Give all to me. Abandon all to me. I need your yes to be united with you and to come down to earth. I need your yes to continue saving the world. O Lord, I'm afraid of your demands, but who can resist you? That your kingdom may come and not mine. That your will may be done and not mine. Help me to say yes. Can we say yes? Because there's a dream that we all dream. There was a dream that that young preacher of 2,000 ago dreamt. There was a dream and a vision that he put into our hearts and put into words. And there's a dream and a vision waiting to come to life. And it needs us, each one of us, to say yes, knowing that wherever he leads, he will have us firmly by the hand. Whatever he asks, he will be there in our hearts. Help me to say yes. Amen.